Well, good evening, class. We're so glad to have you with us tonight. Don't you love Friday Night Live? Isn't it just awesome? I'm telling you, hearing the word, getting recharged from the weekend and getting ready for a great weekend and looking back over the week and thanking God for it. Praise God. Amen. Learn to thank God for your week, okay, that you're leaving. Learn to thank Him for that. And appreciate the weekend. When you go to your church, go there to worship God. Amen. Go there to celebrate. And then get ready for, generally every Sunday, I'll text Pastor Danny or Sunday night and tell him what an awesome job he's done. Amazing teaching. And the worship, amazing. And I'll say, hey, brother, get some rest. We start back over tomorrow. Praise God. I don't know if that's encouraging him or not. But we do. That's what ministers do. That's what we do. We love people. Praise God. Well, we're going to talk about that tonight. Okay, so we've been talking now for about 3 or 4 weeks. It's been right after Easter. We wanted to talk about, we talked about his entrance. We talked about the crucifixion. We talked about his commission. We talked about all those things. And then Miss Paula presented to me about us doing a series about the price, the promise, and the plan, okay? And I said, that's awesome. Let's do that. She showed me some thoughts and gave me some ideas, and I said, we can do that. And as I prayed over that, as I told you, I was awakened at 2:30 the morning before we were to start. And I've got the piece of paper. I went to my study. Went to it at that moment. I don't remember, but I went and took out a regular white piece of printing paper, and I wrote down like the 8 things that we need to talk about concerning John 3:16. In this, I have been so blessed with the greatest verse of all the Bible. We've known this verse since we were children. But do we really know the incredible impact that this verse talks about? An amazing. So the Lord directed us to begin to break it down. Actually, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 things that we want to talk about from John 3:16. The first one was, remember, it was providence. And I don't know about y'all. We've not been able to get away from that one. I mean, the providential hand of God is so amazing. Providential hand of God going ahead of us. We talked about Joseph. Providentially, God brought him through the pit, being sold to the Midianites, being lied on by Potiphar, being the prison, the pit. Potiphar, and that would be a good title, you know, the pit and Potiphar's wife and the prison. And then the palace. That's pretty good. I may have to think about that one, you know, and preach that one down the road. We talk about providence, okay? We talked about the providential hand of God and the provision that was made for Abraham when he offered up Isaac. Was to offer up Isaac, and God's providence was, I'm bringing a lamb on the backside of this mountain. I'm going to provide, and it was Jehovah Jireh. God has seen and God has provided. We went to that was just the first 2 words, for God. Then we went to so loved. And we talked about the love of God. And we called that one God's proof to us. He proved to the world. And it was love here. For God so, not just love, He so loved the world. That was the proof, the proof. The proof, God loves us. Praise God. We have established, I hope and pray that you have established that in your life, that God loves you. Man, the incredible love that God has for you is totally mind-blowing to me. So we're going to go into the third part tonight and the third part of this verse, okay? We talked about for God, okay, providence, so loved, proof. Tonight, we're going to talk about the next part, the world. We're just calling that the place. The place that God loves. We talked about providence, proof, the place. God loved the world. Can I help you with something tonight? God still loves the world.
Amen.
He loves, not going to hit myself, He loves the people in the world. Remember the song we used to sing in children's, I didn't go to church, but you remember the song you probably sang in Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children. I don't know if the majority of the church even believes that song. But God loves every person there is in the world. If there is 7 billion, God loves them. Now don't go off and start another church on me. But Robert, look at their lives, they're living. Well, that's what we're talking about here. That's why we got John 3:16. When we finished it, you're going to understand it. God loves all the people of the world. He may not love their, and I know He doesn't love their sins, not their way. See, I can love somebody, but I may not like their ways. Anybody know anything about that one? Yeah, I love them, but I don't like their ways at all. I mean, you know, just I love them. So God loves us, but there's some of our ways, and especially the sins of the people. God doesn't like the sins of the people, but He loves the person. If you can ever, I thank you, Holy Spirit, there's revelation tonight. If you can ever discover the balance between acceptance and approval. Hello? Acceptance and approval. See, when we made some changes way back, it was a very difficult time for my family because in the element that they were in their church, they felt like if they accepted me, they were approving of my changes. Now, are you tracking with me now? You understand that, okay? They didn't understand. You got to still accept me as your son. Biologically, I'm still your boy. Hello? I'm still your cousin. I'm still your friend. Pastors, I'm still Brother Robert. You've got to accept me as that. You may not have to approve of the changes in the direction that we're going, but as a person, you still have to accept me. Okay? Is everybody on the track with me? Okay, we do not approve of Buddhism. We do not approve of believing in Allah. We don't approve of that. But we have to accept that person, that they are a person that's got a soul, that the same blood that Jesus poured out on Calvary, it wasn't just for white Americans. Hello? So what we're talking about, this is a world that God loves. And we got to live up to what the little song we sang, yellow, red, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. Amen. Are you teaching a one world government? Oh, no, not even one world religion. It will probably come to that down the road before maybe, you know, we're seeing more. When I seen the MM and the Pope sitting at the same table coming into covenant this past week, I thought, what has happened to Catholicism? What has happened? What are we seeing happen? I can tell you what we're seeing. We're seeing the handwriting on the wall that this thing's about to wrap up. It's about to come to an end. But God still loves it. He still loves the world. So, 3 things tonight when I was praying yesterday morning came into my spirit about this verse. Number one, the Creator. Okay? We know who He is. Who is the Creator?
God.
Okay? God. When Abraham Lincoln was writing his Gettysburg's address, you know, all men are created equal. I've heard arguments over that one, but I talked about our Creator. God is the Creator, okay? God created the heavens and the earth, okay? God created the heavens and the earth, and out of earth He pulled man, and He made man, and He called him Adam, and Adam became a speaking spirit. He became a living being, and out of Adam, when he went to sleep, He pulled a rib out and made a woman. God is the Creator, okay? And God created a creation, okay? God made, go to the very, very first chapter of the Bible, very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, the Creator, created a creation. Okay? God created a world. Okay? Put waters where they need to be, spun the planets out where they need to be. So we got a Creator, we got a creation, and there He made man, and man became a creature. You've heard that old saying, we're creatures of habit. Turn around and tell somebody right now, I always knew you were a creature. Okay, God the Creator created a creation and created in that creation a creature, put him in a garden, and he became the caretaker of that garden. God's original plan was to create a heaven on earth. Because when he placed man in the garden, before the fall, the bees didn't sting, the ants didn't bite, man didn't sweat, okay? It was a perfect utopia. It was a heaven on earth. But when man fell, Milton wrote about it, paradise lost, paradise gained, okay? There was sin came in there, thrust them out, put up flaming cherubims, and man lost his right there to that tree of knowledge. God, he lost the right to the garden. Because of sin, he lost that right. So all of a sudden, the world that God created and the creation that he had made and the creature he had put in there, he's thinking, oh my, what have I got myself into here? So it wasn't a matter of 8 chapters later, man's heart was on evil continually, and he said, okay, we're going to start all over again. It seemed like that first one has failed, because you know what he said? 5 things to Adam. He said, be fruitful, replenish, subdue, have dominion, and multiply. Those 5 things, okay? Remember those 5 things. That's the 5 commands to Adam, his creature that was in the creation that had been created by the Creator. This was the world that God had made. God loved this world, and he placed man in this perfect utopia. And 8 chapters later, it has got so degraded that man has failed, and man's heart was on evil continually, and God says, we'll start all over. We'll start all over. Why? Because God's determined to have a world and have people in it. Did you get that? So what did he do? He baptizes the world at ocean, and Noah and his family was the only ones that made it out of it, okay? And all the animals, I mean, I can't even imagine being in the floating boat when you got 2 skunks and 2 monkeys and 2 giraffes and elephants. And I don't know what was all, it had to be God that they all just didn't get in the fight. How did he feed them all? I mean, don't even imagine the sanitary system they had. No, you can't even imagine that, okay? It's amazing. When the flood came, and then it settled and went down. When Noah came out of the ark, what did God tell him? The original plan. The 5 things that God said to Adam was the same 5 things that God said to Noah. Why? Because God loved his world. He loved his creation. It's like Henry Ford that created... Well, he was known by the assembly line. It was the first time an assembly line had ever been used, okay? That's what he was known by, not the Model T or the Model A. He did that, but this, he had the first assembly line, and they were spitting these, they didn't have roads, but they had cars, you know. And he was known by Henry Ford. Henry Ford. Henry Ford did that. Henry Ford was he was going down the road one day, and he came across the car, and the car would not run. And he comes up beside it, and he said, "May I help you?" He said, "Probably not. This is that new model." What came out first, Model A or Model T? Okay. Moving right along. No history buffs were here.
Model T.
Model T. Okay. The Edsel came later. I do know that. That was the biggest failure that Ford ever made. And you probably wish you had one now. And he pulled up beside the car and said, "May I help you?" He said, "Probably not. This is that brand new car that nitwit made in Detroit, and now it won't run." He said, "I might can help you. Probably not. There's only been a handful. I might can help you. Let me see." In just a moment, he got in the motor thing, and boy, he got it going. He said, "How in the world did you know how to fix it?" He said, "Because I was the one that made it." That's why God knows how to fix it. Because God is the one that made it. Amen. For God so loved the world that he created thousands of years ago, the world that he baptized in water. He loved the world. Even when Noah fell victim to drunkenness, to his own daughters and sons, and the nakedness of Ham and Canaan, as they had to back up and cover their dad. And you think, we're starting this perpetual sinning business all over again. And we went from Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges and Ruth and 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles and Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther and Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Songs of Solomon and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Hekah, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, and all of those. And at the end of it, Julie, the last words of the Bible in the Old Testament was a curse. The world that God loved. But let me tell you how much he loved this world. 400 silent years came in. And on one dark Sunday night on that town that we were in, angels herald, "Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy." Praise God. Why? Why did God send his son? Because he loved the world that he had created. Read it. It's in your Bible. For God so loved the world. Notice. I can't get there. That's part of my other ones. But notice why. That he gave. God loved the world. And let me help you tonight. If God loves the world, we better love the world.
Amen.
Now you're going to go start another church on me tonight. You can say, "Now, Brother Robert, the Bible says, love not the world." Boy, I heard this one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You got to break that down and understand what that means. It's meaning don't love the system of the world. I don't love the system of the world. I don't love the politics of the world. I don't love the politics of the church. Don't love politics. Okay, not the system, but we got to, I'm hearing revelation. When Jesus lifted up off of Bethany, what did he tell them to do? "Go back and hide in the caves. I'll come back later and get you." His last words was the greatest commandment. And he said, it was the Great Commission that said, I love what Brother Robert says, "Go into every man's world making disciples." The church has lost their mission. The church has lost their mind. The church has lost their what they're here for. We are here to make disciples.
Right.
We are not here to be a private social club for a few select members, like the country club. That's not what we're for. We're not here to build edifices. We're not here to have fine road choirs. That's all good. That's all fine. That is not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is this, that we go into every man's world. We go into all the world preaching the gospel, the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, and signs and wonders shall follow you. And that's where we're missing at the church. We've got to get back to the Great Commission. If God loves the world, we better love the world too. But I hear Christians saying, oh, I can't wait to get out of this old world. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? What is wrong with you? You've got a mission. We've got to finish what He started. We got to complete the Great Commission. Don't pray to get out of this world. Oh my goodness. Jesus prayed. This is really the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer wasn't over there in Luke chapter 9. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. He said, I'm praying for you that I will put you back in the world, and the world will not touch you and keep you to do what I've called you to do. Now let me tell you, oh hallelujah, there's only one person that can take an unholy person and put them in an unholy world, but keep them holy. There's only one person, and that's what God, and that's what sanctification will do for you. God will take you holy, put you in an unholy world, and keep you holy. You are to love this world. The greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. The second greatest commandment is to love thy neighbor. How can you love who you don't know? I'm not going to cut any corners tonight. Most church people don't even know the names of their neighbors. Doesn't know who lives beside them, behind them, in front of them. Don't know them. We built relationship with our neighbors. Now, one of the presidents of Hallmark is across the road here, and we've just not really got to make the inroads that we want to. But with Vince, or Uncle Vinny as I call him, and Eric, I mean, we talk, we visit, we send food over. I talk to Vinny's kids when they're at the bus stop. We build relationship. I mean, we get off the mowers when we're there. Me and Vince hug. Vince is the vice chancellor of KU Med, and we get off the mowers and we hug each other and we high five and we greet each other. Why? Because I'm laying a foundation. I've told Vinny, I said, Vince, anytime that you're out of town, he travels a lot. I said, if your children need anything, all they got to do is pick the phone up or come knock at our door. We're there. Why? Because I'm loving the world that I'm in. I am loving. I check out with this. I know who I'm checking out at the hen house. When I go through there, I know it's going to be Renee. She's going to check me out while I'm building a relationship. It was the same way when I lived at the other house, at the hen house. Her name was Lucy. Gary was the meat man. Roy was in the deli. I did Roy's sister's funeral. I did Roy's brother's funeral. And I married Roy's nephew. I didn't marry him. I officiated the marriage. Why? Because I want to fulfill the mission that God has put us here. And the church has got to get back to the basics and get back to what the call of God is. And that is to go into every man's world. Amen. Every man's world. Every man's world. So when you're on the plane and that person gets on the plane and sits right beside you and they're not dressed exactly like you think they should be, or maybe there's a faint smell permeating from them, you better love them. I think I told the story of Brother Jim Cimbala. Now, if you want to hear a great man of God, Sharon, I envy you and Gary. They're going to Brooklyn Tab Sunday morning. If you want to hear a great preacher, listen to Brother Jim Cimbala. Amazing. I've got his books, Fresh Fire, Fresh Anointing. Oh my goodness. Just a while back, I heard him tell this story. I watched it. He was preaching, and of course, they give altar calls, okay, at Brooklyn Tab. You know, it's an incredible story, you know. And he had been preaching. And he gave an altar call, and, you know, he has people that kind of watch him, bodyguard, security. And he had got contact with a guy on the about the second row. And boy, you could tell he could. He said, I could smell him from the second row. Every smell in the vocabulary was permeating from his body. Homeless, unkempt, unbelievable smell. And said, as I got through preaching and I stepped up and they were giving the altar call, I had my altar ministers there. I seen him look at me and said, come here. And of course, Brother Simler wanted to say, oh, he's talking to somebody behind me. Yeah. Turned around and said, no. And so he said, I stepped down. As I stepped down, he came to me. And said, Brother Simler said, I immediately went into my wallet to get some money out. And I'm going to, you know, I'm thinking, okay, now what do I give him a five? Is he going to spend it on whiskey or beer? Is he going to buy cigarettes? Or, you know, I don't want to give him a 20 because he's going to, I know he's just not going to spend it in the right place. Maybe if I just give him a five. God, you won't hold that against me. If I just give him a five, if he spends it on getting drunk. And he's holding that out to give to the man. The man said, I don't want your money. I want your Jesus. And all of a sudden, everybody watched Jim Simbola just melt and swivel in the floor. And he said, I laid all the prejudgments aside and I wrapped my arms around that stinking piece of flesh because I knew at that moment that's what Jesus would have done. Oh, my. Oh, my. And he said, I prayed with him. I mean, I couldn't hardly breathe. It was like getting in my nostrils. And I just said, God, help me. And I'm praying with him. And he gave his heart to God. For God, the providence. For God, so loved, the proof. The world, the place. God loves America. He loves Iran. He loves Bangladesh. He loves Pakistan. He loves Russia. He loves Cuba. He loves the world. He loves every Muslim there is. He doesn't love that they're worshiping Allah. He's praying that someone will reach them with the story of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. But if we don't love them and show love to them, we're going to miss our opportunity. Have you not heard? Didn't I? You heard the story. When we were in Greece, we had 16 doctors from India. And the women were in their robes and their garbs. Esther witnessed this. And they rode on the buses with us. And they ate in the same room that we ate. And they were together. And I remember getting on the bus that day, jokingly said, I heard that you're guys are all doctors. I am so glad that y'all are on the bus with us just in case somebody gets sick. And they just laughed and laughed, and it broke the ice because we were pulling into Patmos. And you heard me tell the story when one of the doctors says, now who was his father? And he told him, he said, now how old was he when he died? What did he mean about being born that second birth, whatever? What did he mean? And it stumped the young guide, and he was stumbling and fumbling. And when he fumbled the ball, I picked it up. I said, my turn and my time. Back out of the way, buddy. You're guiding on a trip. I'm going to guide him to heaven. And I stepped in. I said, I'm making help you if you don't mind. He said, yeah, go ahead. And I began to share with him the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the rabbi that came to Christ at the midnight hour because he was embarrassed. If anybody would have saw him, it would have been death to him from all of his other rabbinical friends and priests. And he witnessed to him. He said, I got it. What about the deeds that we do? And I shared with him about the great white throne judgment. I told him, I said, there'll be a day the books, according to the Bible said the books will be opened. And there's the Lamb's Book of Life. And our names are written and we're going to be judged. And oh, I had his attention then. But I said, you know what's so great about it? If we've came to Christ, we're already judged. And oh my, I knew I had planted a seed. Why? Because when I seen those 16 doctors, I had one assignment. Not to change them, but to love them. Somebody better listen to me tonight. For God so loved the world, His place. This is His place. This ain't the devil's place. The devil is the god of this world. He's running people to hell. I was praying over a young man that called me today. Called me this evening. I was back in my prayer room and he called me and I was crying with him. He told me what was going on and when I got off the phone, I said, devil, you are a thief, you are a liar, and you're trying to take people to hell. Why? Because he's trying to rule this world. He's doing his best. But I want to tell you, God's going to love this place so much that one day he's going to let it pass with fervent heat and he's going to burn her up. Listen to me right now. He's going to cleanse it with fire. No wonder when John on the Isle of Patmos looked in the crack of that cave and he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, a new heaven adorned as a coming down. Where were they coming down to? They're coming onto an earth that's been cleaned up and coming down to set its bases with a new Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah. We ought to be excited tonight, but we got to get this world ready to meet Jesus. Now, be careful how you do your witnessing. They're not your projects. You got to love them in. Don't be like the guy that was the barber and he seen this AC Johnny. Here comes old Johnny. He said, man, here comes old Johnny. I've been trying so long. I can't get the nerve up to talk to Johnny. And he said, today I'm going to talk to Johnny today. So Johnny got in there and he lathered him all up and he was doing that, on the leather, getting it all sharpened. And he couldn't wait. He said, Johnny, are you ready to die? You got to be a little bit more diplomatic. Oh, I'm getting revelation now. Jesus said, I'm going to send you like little lambs among wolves. And you're going to be as wise as serpents. And you're going to be as harmless as doves. Realize that we're on assignment in America. And every place we go, we've got an assignment. And that is we're commissioned by the embassy of God to be ministers of the gospel. Every one of us. Well, Karen, now I'm getting loud tonight. They keep telling me to calm down. Just calm down. I mean, I do my best. I get in that closet. I said, Lord, let me calm down tonight. Let me calm down tonight. Don't let me get loud tonight, Lord. I get so excited. I think, okay, Lord, when they get excited at Arrowhead, they break the decibels and they're the loudest stadium in the world. Build is that. Why can't I get excited, Lord? Amen. God loves this place. He loves this world. He loves the people that's in it. He loves everybody. Doesn't matter young, old, poverty, rich, poor, blind, black, white, yellow. Doesn't matter where they're from, who they are, and what they're doing. God loves the world. Okay? We're going to get to it later. We're going to get to it later. Because of this love, it's going to cost him a great price. He loves this place. He is providence. He's got to prove it. But it's going to be a price attached to all of it. Okay? God loves it. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? If you can't say amen, say, The Bible said, love thy neighbor. As I said, when was the last time you cooked for them? Pull their trash cans back up to the road. Put some flowers on their porch. I would, but the kids are too loud. And they drive their bicycle over my grass. Even when I got a sign, don't drive on the grass. That's going to make them drive on the grass. Maybe like the church, they had the little, the young people, they had the, you know, the tennis court thing right beside the church. They, you know, and the church got so tired of them coming over there. And they put up a big old sign. One of the deacons, one of them old hard-headed deacons, put up a sign with, I mean, getting big gospel words out. Here's what he said. What was it? Do not trespass on the church property. I was a few of the, I've been in a few of those churches. Well, you're not going to get nothing on these kids. They played tennis all day Sunday, and so they seen it. So they got together. So Sunday morning when they all rode in and the elder, the deacon rode in, they was up on the, right beside do not trespass. They had written them a sign, forgive us of our trespasses. God loves the world, and he loves everybody in it. No matter about the drunk, the homosexual, the transgender, he loves them. He loves them. Help us love them. I know that stretches some of you, and they got tattoos from their fingers out their ears and down their nose. God loves them. God loves them. Am I saying it's right? I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying God loves them. But they're black. They're not our color. I want to tell you, if you opened them up and looked at their blood, it's probably the same color blood you got. I know that stretches some of the... I was raised in the South, okay? I know all of that stuff that goes on. We never use the N-word. We never was allowed. We don't use it. We don't say it. No, I mean, I got cousins, I got friends, I got uncles that still do it, but we don't do it, my kids don't do it, and we're not going to do it. Because I want to tell you one thing, I'm going to stand in the judgment one day, and he said, you know what, I never did send you to Africa, or I never sent you there, but you missed missionarying your own neighborhood. God's place. And oh, how he loves it. He loves this world, Rita. He loves it. That's why he weeps over it. That's why his heart is broken. When God sees the things that's going on, Melvin, on the world that he's created, it breaks the heart of God. It breaks his heart. He weeps. No wonder when Jesus looked over Jerusalem that night, he said, oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood, but you would not. I'm going to tell you how much God loves the world. Even when the millennial has come, even when the Antichrist and Satan has been thrown in the lake of fire, even when it's all said and done, when there's blood up to the bridle of the horses there in the valley of Jezreel, and hailstones 125 pounds. He closes in the last chapter with an invitation. He that is athirst, let him come. He's saying one last time, come on, world, I loved you. Don't you know I sent my son for you? Don't you know I let him die? Don't you know I turned my back on him? Don't you know they cut him, beat him, till his entrails protruded? That was my boy. That was my boy. Why? Because he loves the world. He loves the world. The story is told of a, he worked as the bridge, a drawbridge conductor, guy that opened it and closed it. And one day his boy said, "Dad, I want to go to work with you." He said, "Okay, yeah." So he took him to work and he watched his dad open the bridge and close the bridge when the ships needed to come in. And he'd opened it up and he missed his boy. And he heard the train in the distance. He said, "Well, he looked at me, well, he's out. I've got to close this bridge. The train's coming with hundreds of people on board." And he looked down and the little boy had fell among the gears that closed the bridge, Melvin. And he says, "Oh, my goodness. My boy. My boy. He's in the gears. If I close it, it's going to crush him to death. But if I don't close it, there's going to be hundreds that's going to lose their lives on this train. What do I do? What do I do?" He couldn't do it waiting longer. He had to pull the lever. Those gears ground his son to death. And as he did, the train went by. And they were drinking. He heard foul words, language, all kind of stuff. And he said, "You mean my son? I gave my son up for them." Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's who God done. That's what God done for us. He gave his son for us when we should have been in hell. We were lost, away from God. But he sent his son. That's what this verse is all about. Greatest verse in all the Bible. The hub of all scriptures. I've never seen it like I've seen it in the 46 years of preaching. 47 years of preaching. I've never seen it like this. When the Holy Spirit awakened me and broke it down at 2:30 in the morning and said, "This is what we've got to talk about before we ever talk about anything else. I want the people to know the power of John 3:16. And boy, I knew when I got to the world part, God, that's going to be so riveting because we've got to hear the church has got, the church should not be, it should not be a country club. It should be a hospital. The church should be a place for the broken, for the wounded, for the discouraged, for the lost, for the wayward. That's what the church is not a private social club. If you live like I live, dress like I dress, talk like I talk, you can be a part of it. No. 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 The place. I'm praying tonight that God will arrest you concerning the world. Because each one of us, Miss Paula, you come up here. Kieran, come up here. Rita, stand over there. Melvin, come stand right here. Okay? Claude, you find some place to stand. Each one of these people, just come and stand, Claude. Each one of these people, okay, you live in this world. But let me turn the page, okay? Each one of you live in your own world. Could it be that God is going to hold you responsible for the world that you live in? Your world, whoever, if it's family, if it's Friday morning people eating breakfast, your world, how big it is or how small it is, could it be when he said, "Go into all the world or every man's world," that is every one of our commissions tonight. Your world. And all of you that are sitting in front of me tonight, we've got this big world, but then we've got this smaller world that we live in. There's a great chance we're going to be held responsible for the world that God has placed us in.